sending us out, light in this broken land. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, you overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name, you blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Of all of our praise, you overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name, you overcame. Awesome and great is your name.
Anyway, good morning to you all. Welcome here. Welcome, visitors. Welcome you to Reaching Out Ministries. I know we lost some people didn't come because the parking lot was full, so they turned away. Anyway, one person. Anyway, this morning I want to talk about conduct in Christianity. When you become born again, what's next? Like, I have a granddaughter, and if she'd still be lying and not growing up, I'd be worried. And this is no different with us as believers. We don't want to breastfeed all our life. We want to continue towards eating meat that is only a mature person can digest or eat. So there's a process to that. There's the first part is they breastfeed, and then they start moving around. They do different things. They discover their fingers. So there's all kinds. That's the same. Christianity runs parallel, or the spiritual runs parallel with the natural, the physical. So as you see this baby mature, and if you have become born again, that's the second birth, the same thing should happen. You start out with the milk of the Word, and then you grow in the milk of the Word towards becoming something God is working out within you. Remember, God worked salvation within you. You have to work it out. The outside part belongs to you. God did his part. He sanctified you, set you apart, seated you in heavenly places. That's taken care of. But then there's another part that belongs to us. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to actually live that out. Because if you try that in the flesh, you will fail. So I'm going to start my message today. Before we do this, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings, because we need the power of the Holy Ghost. Even for me to preach this, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you will give us exactly that. We humbly ask you that you will grant us the power of your Holy Spirit, not only for me to give the message, but for the opening of our understanding to what you want from us. Lord Jesus, we know, Lord, we can't be stuck or in a rut or become complacent in our everyday life, but we need an everyday or minute by minute a relationship with you where we can live out this Christian life where people see our good works, which are profitable for men, Thank you, Jesus, for this. You will bless us with understanding. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to start with Romans 12, King James Version, verses 9 to 21. Paul the Apostle, writing to the church in Romans, starts off like this, chapter 12. Let love we be without dissimulation. So let it not be fake. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. This is instructions into basic Christianity. This is how we start. Then he says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and sisterly. In honoring, preferring one another. In other words, esteeming each other more than ourselves. Be not slothful in business. Be fervent in spirit, which means simply be passionate about what you do. Serving, be passionate in serving the Lord. Rejoicing in the hope that we have. Be patient in tribulation, because the Bible, if you live godly lives in Christ Jesus, you will have persecution or tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer, be ready. The first thing you do, react to any problem you have, react with prayer. Be instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. So, and always be ready to give. Given also to hospitality. And here it changes a bit now to a people that might do harm to you or are contrary to what you believe in and bring you persecution. It says, bless them which persecute you. Do we do that? Do we bless the people that are... Is that the first thing that comes to our minds when somebody is not happy with the way we did things or if we told them about Jesus or however your conduct in life? What is our reaction? Do we bless or do we want vengeance against them? And Lord, say, just like James and John, the sons of thunder, Lord, let fire and brimstone rain down from heaven and destroy those suckers for not agreeing with me. It says, bless and curse not. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that do weep. The proverb says there's a time and a season for everything. Find a time and a season and do exactly what the time and a season calls for. Be of the same mind one toward another. Here, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Rather make yourselves of friends that are down here versus the ones that are full of pride. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, Paul wrote a sermon. We don't even have to have a sermon. Just read this. It says it all here. But I'm going to come to something that is going to intrigue you, because it is impossible to lift this out under your own power. In continuing, if it is possible, as much as lies, in other words, as much as it depends on you and on me, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is not my own. I'm not coming up with this. This is written by the Apostle Paul through the power of the Holy Spirit on how we ought to conduct our lives as born-again Christians. Continues in Romans 13, verse 8 to 14. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall love, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Anybody who is beside you at the moment, that is who your neighbor is. Not exactly your neighbor that lives beside you, where you live, even though that's also your neighbor, but where you're at. That is your neighbor. Treat him the way you would treat yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's why Jesus, it says Jesus came to fulfill the law. It's the ultimate sacrifice of love. and he took everything away, the law, the full extent of the law, and nailing it to the cross. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation, that means the completion of our salvation, the return of the Lord is nearer than we first believed. For the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, excuse me, cast off the works of darkness. If you're caught up in the works of darkness where you do things where you're alone that are not of works of the light, where you're doing things that are not appropriate, that are not pleasing to the Lord, you stop those things. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not just in the day, but in the night, walk the same way, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering, in wantonness, not in strife or in envying. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make provisions for the and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. How hard is all that to do? That's almost like the Sermon on the Mount, impossible to follow. But yet, here the Apostle Paul is writing us and telling us this is what we ought to do. In 2 Corinthians 7, first verse, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Again, hard to do. Hebrews 12, 1-2, King James Version. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember, the beginning and the end have already been written for you. You live out in between, in a way where you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do. Don't do it on your own strength. You will burn out and you will fail. I'll get to that yet. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. In 1 Peter 2, 21-24. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Again, big steps to follow. We were singing this song, I'm following Jesus. Those are big, big steps to follow. But not impossible. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are all healed. You were healed, it's past tense. So we are not, since now we are set free, we were born again, we're blood bought, we are not superior among other people. I am a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul writes. He says, we are not our own. You are bought with a price. You are not your own anymore. Your soul and your spirit have been bought by Christ. Your body has to be brought under that subjection. The Apostle Paul sold himself out to Jesus Christ, and he said, in effect, I am a debtor to everyone on the face of the earth because of the gospel of Jesus. He says, I am free to do anything, but I have freed myself only that I may be an absolute bondservant of his. That is the characteristics of a Christian life. Once this level of spiritual honor and duty has become real, quit praying about just yourself and spend more time praying for others. There is a time and point in your Christian life where you shift from yourself and become a soldier to win others to Christ. In Mark 16, this is what I have in closing here. In Mark 16, there's something that Jesus says. It says, signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. And today we have very few miracles as far as healings are concerned, but there's other signs and wonders. I'm going to use this part as signs and wonders that you need a miracle or the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill this part of what the Apostle Paul is writing. We need power from on high to live that life. It is not only miracles of healings that are a sign and a wonder. It also includes the way you conduct your life that people watch. This is how most of us preach the gospel, or should preach the gospel, is by the way we conduct ourselves at our workplace, when we're alone, in the way we minister to the Holy Spirit, or He ministers to us, is how are we when we are alone? What do we do when we're alone? Is our time alone as now nobody's here, nobody can see what I'm doing, I'm going to do this. Nobody can watch me. There is somebody watching you all the time. Never forget that. The Holy Spirit, the Father, your Heavenly Father, if you call yourself a born-again Christian, is watching you. And one day, you will not feel too happy about some of the things you did. That will not affect your salvation, but it will sure bring you tears that you have hurt the Father so much in the way you did things. And it also has a physical outcome. Remember, everything you do in the spiritual reflects things in your physical. So our attitudes, our reaction to bad situations, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to make it possible to live out these scriptures that I just read before. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the unspoken preaching of the gospel. It's also signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. It's part of that. It's not just healing. We need signs and wonders to follow our conduct of life, the way we do things, just the way we react to other people doing bad things to us. It takes a miracle that we do not do the bad things, that we do not react out of anger. It takes a miracle for me. The first start to that miracle is to change my attitude and say, I'm in the wrong. To humble myself, to say, it's pride that I want to strike out and I'm going to get even with that sucker. I'm going to get back at him. I'm not going to speak to that boy for the next week. He'll find out that he was in the wrong. This is our attitude, at least mine. When somebody does something that I think was wrong or hurtful to myself. But we need to do better than that. We need to react in a way that how the Holy Spirit will react. I'm not saying to roll over at every situation and be so soft that you will not react, but control your reaction and give it over to the Holy Spirit that you react out of love from His standpoint. And love is not always the way the world portrays love. It's love comes in a very broad way of reacting. You can pick up a whip and love somebody. It's chase the child in the way of the Lord, and you shall not depart from it. That is love. So there's different ways. Speaking the truth in love. The Bible also talks about that we should speak the truth in love. So do we back away then from the truth? No, we don't. We have to use the Holy Spirit to be unwavering in what we have and what we say. So through a sign to the unbelieving and a wonder to ourselves and to others at the amazing power of God working in our lives. That is my prayer, that I will become more like Him. And it's not just something that I come up here and preach. I actually strive to ask the Lord, what do I do in every situation of my life that I'm in? And it's not easy, because the hardest part of it is overcoming your own pride of not surrendering your mind and your will to Him that has the power to make you never ashamed of the outcome that will come, or be at peace within yourself that you made the right choice, even though it might not always be something people will like. But you will always make the right decisions if you allow the Holy Spirit to abide in you and to walk with you. And then you will, as much as lies with you, you will live peaceful with all men. So the Lord bless you and open your understanding to that, that we can become a powerhouse for God and for the church, and that we will not become complacent, but that we will be a team united under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the banner of the blood of the Lamb, and we will make a difference in our community. In Jesus' name I ask that. And that concludes my part of the service here. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing.
James had a good message and a lot of reasons, and a lot of times people don't see God or have that intimate relation or don't quite see what the Bible means is because they don't want to submit their hearts to loving your neighbor or to live a godly life. They want to kind of be a mediocre Christian. Yes, I have accepted Jesus, but I don't care for my neighbor that much. Let him go do what he wants by himself. He doesn't want to be bothered anyway. That's the type of attitude we have. And we never really get to know what the problem is with our own hearts. Last week we were talking about having an assurance of salvation. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? How many old internet believe that your name is written in the book of life? Christians I'm talking to. Do you know that you know that you're going to heaven? If you don't know, what is your joy? What are you actually looking for if you're not sure of yourself? So there's a catch. You have to seek. You have to find out. If you want to have joy, it says pray without ceasing. Be joyful evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. How can you pray that prayer? How can you rejoice evermore if you don't know that you belong to God? Well, you need to have a relationship. You need to find out. And this scriptures I'm going to have is going to really put an emphasis on your heart. So you listen up and check yourself out whether I'm really serious with this God. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Wherefore, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Can you sin? Good one, isn't it? Are you born of God? Can you sin? I'll ask you again. Everybody's kind of quiet here. I wonder why. Don't have the guts to say, I know what you're saying. Anyways, over the internet, it says, whosoever is born does not commit sin. Are you born of God? Yes. Do you commit sin? Well, I'm not so sure about that. Well, I'm not talking about the physical body. Because it says, when he shall appear, then we shall see him as like he is. Then God will show us who we really are. We're born of him. We cannot sin. If we could sin, we'd go to hell. We'd be a fornicator. He said, but such were some of you. But now you are washed. You're cleansed. You're holy. Do some fall into sin like that? Yes, they do. But that's beside the point. In God's eyes, you lean on Jesus. He's the one that took it on himself. And he's the one that took your blame. So can I sin? No. Why? Because Jesus took my blame. Try to beat that, anybody. Hallelujah. Done. You don't just study the Bible with your eyes. Study it with your heart. See what it says. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which has testified of his Son. Yes, we believe, accept Jesus, then you're saved. Well, we accept that. But the witness of God is greater. He says you don't sin. He says your name is written in the book of life. He tells us you're seated in heavenly places. Are you going to believe that? Well, if you believe one, you better believe the other, because this one cannot lie. It says in 1 John chapter 5, he that believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him what? A liar. Because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. You don't believe it if you don't know that you belong to God. It's as simple as that. Why don't you believe it? Because you don't have a heart-to-heart relationship with him. You don't know him. You wish you did. You go to church, you hope you do, but going to church hoping and wishing is not going to do it. You have to have a relationship that is proof. Prove where in your own heart that you know that you belong to God. When I first became a Christian, it took me a little bit. But I studied the Bible to find out who I really am. It's not like I do stuff in the natural. First try to do the project, then read the instruction book. That's what a lot of guys are doing today. They're doing the instruction. They're doing the project, forgetting about the instruction book and missing all the right points. God tells us you make him a liar because you believe not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record that God has given to us. What? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. It's as simple as reading and believing and trusting what God is saying. It's not about you trying to conjure up enough faith. It's studying the Word of God and just believing that what God is saying is true about yourself. But if you're going to live an immoral, selfish life, God will not speak to you. He will, but not in the way that I'm talking about. He can come down hard if he knows deep in your heart you want to do right. He'll come down hard on you. Remember my words. It'll be either sooner or later. So try and live and be for God because he loves you. It says in John chapter 5, verse 13, one of my favorite chapters, verses. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may believe that you have eternal life. He tells us this so that we can believe and be assured of that we have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. See, this is our God. He doesn't leave a little bit of a crack. He makes sure he covers himself. What I say is true, and what I say means business. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm a child of the kingdom of God. I'm God's holy purchased possession. I have been bought with a price, and the devil cannot in any way steal me or lure me away because I'm bought with a price. Nobody steals me out of God's hands. But it's how you feel in your own heart that matters a lot here on this earth. Do you know that you know? Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Are you sure that you're going to heaven? If you're not sure, then you have, at best, a miserable life. Yes, once in a while, yeah, I'm sure. We'll see if you are. Time will prove itself. It's like when you cast out devils of people. If a person is a little bit afraid of a devil being cast out of him, that means he's got a devil. If you talk about Jesus and about him taking you into heaven and joy wells up in your heart, that means that you know that you know that you're going to heaven. It works both ways. Are you afraid of a demon? If you are, then you got a problem. You better get rid of him or get somebody to help you get rid of him. Are you living a life that is filled with pornography, adultery? If you're living in adultery that's just like pornography, then you will miss what I'm trying to tell you here, because God is not going to reveal it to you. You can argue with a person that a wall is black. If your eyes are not open, you're not going to agree with me that the wall is black. God has to open your eyes. And once he opens your eyes, nobody closes them for you. Nobody takes away of what you have seen with your heart. With your heart and with your eyes. So open your heart to this. Don't just allow yourself to be ministered to day by day, week by week. Look for your own treasure. And once you find that treasure, I kid you not, you will sell everything you have to get possession of that treasure, because that's what happened to me. I saw the incredible treasure when I was a young guy, and I sold everything I had and gave it up for what Jesus could give me. So open your heart to this, and God will meet you where you are and will give you that incredible treasure that He has for you. So let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing. Amen.
Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? The family is preparing for a wedding. All have been invited to attend. The bride is standing ready, waiting for the signal. When the groom says, "Rise, my children, come on in." It's that wedding music I hear. The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for the wedding. Is that wedding music that I hear?
Soon we'll rise to leave this land of sorrow, for the ceremony and air. The Father then will lead us through the holy splendor. Have you made your preparations to go there? It's that wedding music I hear. The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? There's heavenly